Oh, we got a show for you today. It's the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. It is 9 o'clock already. It's 8:58 a.m., April 9th, 2024. Tuesday. We have a couple things to get to. I've got to head out of town today. I'm heading off to Dallas right after I finish my cup of not so good chai. Yeah, it's okay. It's got enough creamer in it today that it's kind of masking the flavor of everything else. Today's show, interestingly enough, is going to be kind of like normally what I would do on a Friday. I don't have this. I have some audios to play for you this morning. But I just want to clarify that, I don't know about the rest of you, but it's been weird. Sleeping lately has been weird. I've been doing a lot of, I've had a lot of dreams. I'm not sure what's going on with that. And they seem kind of random, but they also seem to have some kind of meaning. I've been pondering them. So I'm not sure what that's all about. But apparently, maybe it's this chai. I don't know. Maybe it's the eclipses and the earthquakes and the cicadas, everything else that's happening. We have, the couple of things that are happening. This is, again, we have crazy, wacky people out there. And I just want to point that out. The wacky person I want to talk about. Well, let's do this in reverse order. I was going to talk about somebody else, but let's go back to this lady right here. This is The View, and it's what is her name? Sunny Houston, I think, or Houston, Hostin, I think is the way she spells her name. I'm not sure how she pronounces it. Now, I want you to hear something she says at the end of this. This is kind of a long clip. It's a couple minutes. Maybe about a minute, actually. It feels like it's longer just because it's The View, probably. I think it's only like a minute, but it's probably not even that long. But notice the exchange she gets into with Whoopi Goldberg. And Whoopi's always knows everything. Whoopi's the smartest person in the room. Every time she walks in, she's the smartest person there. Until she isn't, then she just ignores the fact that she's stupid. I've never seen anybody just roll right off the... Whoopi's got some real serious issues. So does Joy Behar, or whatever her name is. People are just nuts. And it's just what gets me is that these people have this kind of a platform. They're making this kind of money, and they are so unbelievably stupid. It just blows my mind. If they just spent 5 minutes thinking about what they're going to say in the next hour, talk about the dumbing down of our country. It's just this, and they're right out there in the front of the pack, leading the way. Let's listen to this little exchange on The View and see what you think.
I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love
the first time in
cicada.
Two different times.
Two
different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists,
that's
or something
point.
Is really going on.
either climate change exists or something is really going on. First of all, you notice how they're kind of mocking this woman who believes that Jesus is coming back and the rapture is going to happen. This is very telling, first of all, right off the bat. And people confuse the two. There's two different things happening here. The rapture is different than the Lord's return. Rapture is us going to Him, His return is Him coming to rule and reign. The rapture is a snatching up, a snatching away. And I don't think that's going to happen in a way that we think. I think it's. Yeah, there's some things that he said specifically that are very telling about the way it's going to happen and how it's going to happen and how the world will react to it and why they won't react to it or why the. But I'm going to ponder those things a little bit before I talk about them. That's more going to be my new podcast called The Conspiracy with a question mark. The Conspiracy? But it's. I'm also trying to write this book. And I've actually been writing some things. So that it's on its way. It'll probably take me all year to write it, but it's actually I've got some vacation time coming up and I've got some time away and I really want to get into the discipline. And this one of the things that I almost talked about it yesterday. I just have to mention it. I just remember that I was going to go down this road and I forgot to go down it. There's a big huge difference between discipline. Being disciplined or discipline and self-discipline. And we get the two confused a little bit sometimes. Living under some kind of discipline where someone else is disciplining you to do something. In other words, you're under their discipline. They're like when you go into the army, they tell you to get up at a certain time. Do a certain number of push-ups, do a certain number of this, do a certain number of that, you know, finish, you know, polish your shoes. These are all things you won't do on your own. These are things somebody else is telling you to do under the threat of, you know, you got to do more push-ups or you got to do more, you know, KP or whatever you got to do. That's why you do those things. That's discipline. It's living under, and even if you're obedient to all those things, if that person were removed or if that authority was removed from your life, you wouldn't do them because you don't have the discipline to do that, the desire, the motivation, or the discipline. You don't have to discipline yourself to stay in bed in the morning. Well, some people do, but it's... You don't have to discipline yourself to eat that favorite piece of cake or pie that you love so much. It's the discipline of not eating it. The discipline of getting up at 5 in the morning when that's not something you want to do. It's the discipline of sitting down for 18 minutes and practicing the piano or practicing your guitar. Or doing something, and I'm not just talking about playing it, I'm talking about practicing. There's a difference between practicing and playing. Practicing is trying to challenge yourself to do something you couldn't do before. Playing is just sitting down and playing. I mean, playing is fine. It builds the foundational stuff. But the practicing is different. It's the challenge of playing something you couldn't play before and trying to get your, and making a lot of mistakes. That's practicing. And you practice it until you can do it. But the idea of self-discipline, and I've seen this in a lot of martial arts training. Oh, I'm learning the discipline of Taekwondo or whatever it is, whatever style that you're learning. It's a lot of self-discipline. No, it's not, because you're going to class, you're going to someone else's class. If you were doing self-discipline, you could study on your own. It is very difficult to do that. It's very difficult to maintain, even just to maintain your level of expertise in a martial art on your own without going to class. There's something about that. Even going to the gym, People say, well, I can have a gym at home. Okay, try that. See how motivated you are at home to work out. I guarantee you, you go to a gym, you will work out harder. I don't know why. There's people watching, maybe? I don't know. Or just the intention of actually having to go down there to the gym and work out. You will work out harder. And for some reason, when there's people in the room, I tend to push myself harder. I don't want to look like an idiot. And I don't want to look like as much of an idiot. Put it that way. I don't know. It has a motivating factor. And again, that's not self-discipline. That's some other kind of discipline. I'm not sure what it's called, what that's called. Peer pressure discipline? I don't know. But there's just a myriad of things like that. Now, listen to what these people are saying. It's either climate change. Okay, climate change. What does climate change have to do with solar eclipses and earthquakes? They would have you believe that this stuff is, oh, this is climate change. That's not climate. Those things might affect the climate. Climate doesn't affect earthquakes, and climate does not affect eclipses, the planets moving around. And if every 17 years the cicadas, there's two different kinds of cicadas. No, Whoopi, there's way more than two different kinds. It's a type of locust, but it happens every 17 years. Oh, that's not what I read, but maybe you know better. Maybe I do. She's an expert on this. Because, you know, Whoopi's an expert on everything, including how to do her hair. She shaves the side of her head. I don't get that. This African culture thing. Okay, let's just talk about this for just a second. Because I've been to Africa. I spent quite a bit of time there. Actually, probably more than most of the African Americans in this country. I didn't see the kind of clothing, hairstyles, all the stuff I see here that is supposedly African culture. It's not African. It might be African-American culture, if they want to call it that. I didn't see that stuff in Africa. But they can do whatever they want. You can have a culture of whatever you want to do. I don't care. In fact, dreadlocks were not an African culture thing. They actually were started by the Scandinavians. But I guarantee you, if you're Scandinavian and you have dreadlocks, you're going to be called a cultural appropriation. You're appropriating someone else's culture. Like, that's a crime. What the heck? Well, identify as a whatever. So what we have here is we have this wacky people. Wacky people. And in fact, I have an audio clip of a lady who's just wacky. I have had to heavily edit this. I can't remember her name. Jennifer Lawrence. Not Jennifer Lawrence. What's her name? Jennifer somebody, I think. She's in Blackish. And now notice the way she says this stuff and how she says it and what she says. She's very dramatic. And the dramatic pauses. Because it's in the dramatic pause. She's learned to give the dramatic pause. And the wacky screaming! This is all an act. It's all theater for her. Her life is theater. This woman she's insane. And when she looks in the mirror, she knows what mental illness looks like. We'll talk about that in a second after we play this. I've had to heavily edit this because she cusses like a sailor through this whole thing. I hope I got everything. Just be aware there are some spots that are, she's got a foul mouth. Surprise, surprise. This is what Trump derangement syndrome looks like. And this is what mental illness looks like. Let's have a listen to this wacky woman. I put the file down. I actually recorded this on a separate file because I had to edit it. And I just late labeled it wacky woman. I don't know. I don't remember what her name was. Let's go with this.
As soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces.
Mm.
And say, now, I'm the king of the fucking world. You will bow down, bitch. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like. That mania is unstoppable. See, this motherfucker is Hitler. He didn't come to play. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just funny. I think I'm going to put that on. I think I'm going to put that on a card so I can play it when one of my buttons. Okay. This woman, she's insane. Notice at the beginning, how she talks about this whole thing. He's going to have generals. He's going to march it. This is, what kind of wacky world is this lady? She thinks this is actually going to play out. She thinks it's actually going to happen. He's going to punish everybody who didn't vote for him. Everybody. Just like he did the first time. So I think it's this kind of ridiculous, over-the-top, nutcase reaction to Donald Trump. I think people are starting to wake up. Normal people, people who aren't insane, are starting to realize these people are messed up. There's something wrong with these people. Because we've had this guy in office before, and none of this happened. Now, of course, they have made this whole January 6th thing just taking it over the top. It was an armed insurrection, And we're going to listen to Karl Rove here in a minute because I finally found the recording of him. And we're going to see what he had to say about this whole thing because I've been talking about it in the last couple shows and it's long past due that I actually play what he said. Now, I wish I could find what Donald Trump actually said, what he's referring to, because I've heard it myself. I've compared the two together, and then when I went to find it, I can't find it. It probably got scrubbed, but it also probably got it's out there somewhere. I know I've got it downloaded somewhere. I think it's on my phone. I will find it, and we will play it at some point. We're going to play the two side by side and see what you think. So we see whether or not you think Karl Rove is twisting what Donald Trump said, because he's absolutely twisting what he said. But if you keep repeating it and keep saying it, well, then you're the authority. No, he didn't say that. But that's the way they would have you believe it. That's what they hear. That's what they've heard. But in his world, that's probably what he thinks. So let's play this little clip here. If I can find it. Where are we at here? I gotta cue this up real quick. It's right in here somewhere. This is only about a minute long, but it's Karl Rove. Believe it or not, this is courtesy of MSNBC. They'll probably sue me for playing this. Let's listen to Karl, what he says about what happened on January 6th and his opinion of this whole thing, what's happening with the Republican Party. He obviously, first of all, he's being interviewed by somebody from MSNBC. Obviously, he's a Trump deranged individual. And by the way, when you sit down with your jacket on, you're supposed to unbutton it, girl. It's just things like this are just, he just. Let's see what Carl has to say here.
If they were smart, they'd take the January 6th and go hard at it. And they would say, he wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol. I worked in that building.
Now, I want to be very careful here. Let's notice, if they were smart, they'd take January 6th and go hard at it. He wants to pardon everybody who's in. He's not telling Donald Trump to go hard at it. He's talking about the establishment Republicans. The Republican establishment. He's talking about the Republicans going after Trump. Oh, yeah, he might say he's talking about the Democrats. Oh, if the Democrats are smart, they go after. They do go after. See, it's not. He's making. This is an undercurrent. He's making. He realize. I look at the look on his face, and as he's saying this again, this is where my vocal analysis stuff comes in. I believe in the midst of him saying that statement, he realizes he's actually talking about the Republican establishment. He's not talking about the Democrats. I think he actually realizes that. In the midst of him saying it, because you look at the look on his face, all of a sudden he kind of looks lost in thought. And I think he's realizing in that moment that he actually almost exposed the Republican establishment. Let's continue on.
The Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy.
Here we go.
Sourcing and information.
Oh, this is.
He wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol.
Okay, again, he wants to pardon these people who attacked our Capitol. No, he does not. He wants to pardon people who deserve a pardon. He never said anything about pardoning everybody. He's going to look into it, and where it's appropriate, he will issue pardons. And there, believe me, there are people who need pardons. There are people whose sentences need to be dissolved. Because it is a travesty what has happened there in some of these cases. But I digress. Let's continue.
I worked in that building.
As a young man.
To me, the Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy.
Yeah, it's the strength of our democracy. Here we go. This is these people, and when you hear Nancy Pelosi, the temple of our democracy, because it is a religion to them. They worship the government that they are part, that they are, that they think that they run. They're the leaders. They're the ones in charge. They think it's a sacred place. It's not sacred with regard to any kind of religion or holiness. It is a place to be respected. It is not sacred. A lot of things have happened there, but it's not to be worshipped at all.
And a jewel of the Constitution. And
a what jewel of the Constitution. Did,
when they violently attacked the Capitol in order to stop a constitutionally mandated meeting of the.
A constitutionally mandated meeting, yeah. But there was a path. There are lawyers who would argue against you, Carl. This whole thing has been blown up into something it's not.
Congress to accept the results of the Electoral College is a stain on our history, and every one of those sons of who did that, we ought to find them, try them, and send them to jail. And one of the critical mistakes made in this campaign is that Donald Trump has now said, I'm going to pardon those people because they're hostages. No, they're not. They're thugs. There were people, some of them had automatic.
Listen to this statement that he makes. Some of them had automatic. None of the people that were there that day had automatic weapons.
Send them to jail. And one of the critical mistakes made in this campaign is that Donald Trump has now said, I'm going to pardon those people because they're hostages. No, they're not. They're thugs. There were people, some of them had automatic weapons at a hotel in Virginia hoping to be able to be called up. Where's Nancy Pelosi? We had people who were, you know, taking desks and sitting at the desk of the Speaker of the House and attempting to, you know, find people in order to bring them to justice and saying to yelling at the police, kill them all. And so why Trump has done this is beyond me.
Probably
if he had
feds.
Said, you know what? I trust our jury system. I trust law enforcement. Anybody who assaulted the Capitol ought to be. I mean, he said it once or twice, but now he's appearing in a video with people who assaulted police officers with an intent to take the Capitol by force. So.
No, that is not what they were there to do.
I'm a Republican. I don't want to have a Democrat president. I want to have a Republican president. But we're facing as a country a decision, and you know, everybody gets to make it, as to what kind of leadership we're going to have. And to me, it is a mistake on the part of the Trump campaign to allow the president's impulses to identify himself with the people who assaulted the Capitol rather than people who stand for law and order.
Yeah. Very clear.
Yeah, that's Karl Rove for you right there. And this is being plastered all over MSNBC. So you know, it's playing into their advantage. What are you saying? Trump derangement syndrome takes on many forms. Let's just say that.
I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
I'm telling you. And there's a prime example of it right there, Carl. Did nice job. Nice job, Carl. These people are insane. So, there's a dramatic pause there, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. I'm doing some dramatic pauses this morning just to so I can keep up with the crazy, crazy lady. Because she knows what... She knows. She knows what it looks like. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you do. So stay out in the hallway there, lady. Lock the door. Somebody lock the door. So, what we have here is wacky people. Very wacky people. I don't know where to go with this, folks, honestly. I don't know what to tell you. This idea that we had, you know, there are people with automatic weapons over in Virginia. Oh, there's people over with automatic weapons over in Yugoslavia that are just standing by to be called up. There are people with nuclear weapons in some places that are waiting to be called up. He just obviously hates Donald Trump. And it shines through in moments like this. And part of the reason that he hates Donald Trump so much is because he's not being included in the club. He will always be a Bush follower. Now, I have to confess, I was snockered by Bush as well. Thought the guy was, you know, didn't, the guy was just a warmonger, and it was the whole thing with Iraq had a lot more to do with the military-industrial complex, which very few people in the country knew what was going on at that time in terms of the way the money was being trickled back into political campaigns and how much money was being made by people in the Congress by the war machine that just continued to be perpetuated. A lot of people didn't understand that. I didn't understand it. I didn't realize it. How connected the two were. How much crony capitalism is going on in this country. It just blows your mind. We've been fleeced in ways that I just can't even talk about. Because I probably scratched the surface, and I thought, all I know. In the meantime. Now, having said all that, I would like to change gears here a little bit. Let's think about all this stuff that's coming about. Where we're going to be in another 10 years. Look at the trends of the way things are going right now. Now, we have Ricky's talking about a black swan event, which, some kind of a, we used to call it the October surprise. Now we're just calling it the black swan event. And because it's global. It's a global event that's going to take place probably. Much like the situation with what happened with COVID. They will stop at nothing. These people, and listen to how wacky these people are when it comes to Donald Trump. Where does this lady, this wacky woman, where does she get this idea, this mental idea, this picture of who Donald Trump is? Where does she get this in her? He's going to walk down there with his generals. He's going to pull up the Constitution. He's going to smash the glass and rip it up to shreds. Say, I am in charge now. I'm the king of the world. Where does that kind of thought process come from? How does that get stuck in your head to the point where you paint that kind of a picture? You have that all playing out in your head. This is what the guy's going to do. Where do you even come up with that idea? And then to have the audacity to go in front of everybody in the world and on a broadcast and speak it out like that. This is what he's going to do. I guarantee you, if he tries to do that, he will get shot. I'll shoot him. Nobody's going to do that. Okay. It's not going to happen. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about a person. It's about the whole system, the whole establishment. It's about the anti-establishmentness of this whole thing. Donald Trump just happens to be the guy. There's a lot of things happening in the world, and I want to talk a little bit more about the spiritual side of this whole thing. There are a lot of things that happen in the world, and it's everybody says, "Oh, there must be some kind of conspiracy. There must be some people behind this thing. Why, you know, how is it that at the same time this is going on, that's going on over there, and it's the same thing? It all seems to be kind of working together, and all this stuff is kind of working." Well, there's the spirit of the age. It's the evidence. What you're seeing is the evidence of things unseen. Now, what I mean by that, and you'll have to read my book to find out more of the details about this. But the spirit of greed and lust for power and lust itself and everything else that's behind the selfishness of most of mankind. Has a lot to do with the way the enemy is able to move and manipulate and try to destroy mankind. And to use mankind to destroy himself. Simply by his own weaknesses. And this is where I believe that the church sometimes gets it a little bit askew. I'm amazed sometimes at the level of let's just put it this way. The religious spirit is as powerful and strong today as it was at the time when Jesus stood before the Pharisees. And he was questioned and confronted. Tested and answered them in every way possible, simply making them more and more mad, calling him a heretic, calling him, he casts out demons in the name of the demons, in the name of Beelzebub. If you're casting out demons, you must have a demon. And they turn around and ask for a sign. Is it easier for me to say, stand up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? So he did both. And the guy got up and walked away. And then you have people taking this religion, putting it in a bottle and deciding that that's, there you go, that's, it's canonized, this is the way it is. And we're going to decide whether or not you're legitimate or not. I see this happening all the time. There's if you go on YouTube and you start typing in, there's guys that critique music. Okay, now there's songs, there's stuff going on with Hillsong and with Bethel and with Elevation Worship and other things. There's stuff that they do on stage that bothers the daylights out of me. There's stuff that they say and the way they perform that bothers the daylights out of me. I don't like some of it. In fact, they have one song where this guy's singing. And I'm sorry. Why am I sorry? I don't know why I'm sorry. When I see a worship leader on stage putting his hand on his crotch, you might want to edit that part out. Now he wasn't trying to be lewd or crude with it, but he was doing it. And it just, I'm sorry for you. It's a good song. Now, I've seen people critique it and try to say, oh, there's problems with this song. Christians shouldn't be singing this song. It's a great song until this one line. And they twist something out of that line that says, oh, this, nowhere in Scripture does it say that. Well, everything that comes out of your mouth is just nothing but Scripture then, I guess, huh? You're not using the English language or any other language. And everything you should say should probably be in Hebrew, in original Hebrew. And it's all you should say is anything that's in the Torah. It's all you should talk, just only thing you should say. The only words that you craft and put together should just come out of the Torah. Because everything else you're saying is not in the Torah. So it's illegitimate. Now, they say things that I think we need to, you know, there's poetic things that are said, and there's things that are, you know, metaphorically said. And it just, when you sing a song, I could pull up hymns. Now, one of the things, I think that we don't, I've been leading worship for years, and I've this whole back when contemporary worship music was coming out, and everybody was all like, "Oh, we have to stay with the hymns. The hymns are that's where the theology is all in the hymns." We're not worshiping our theology. Theology is important in the midst of it, but that's not the purpose of a song. It's got to have good theology to it. This shouldn't be blasphemous. But I guarantee you, I have challenged people who are all about the hymns. We got to sing praises, only sing hymns. Hymns are great. I have no problem with hymns. Sing a hymn. Sing, just do nothing but hymns in your service. That's fine. Whatever. Scripture is very clear. We're supposed to sing unto him. Now, I'm just telling you, I would challenge you, give me 5 hymns out of your entire hymnal, 5. In fact, I would challenge you to find one without even having to look at your hymnal. Tell me one hymn that you know of that is sung to God, not about God, to God. That is a song that you could, if you read it would sound like a prayer. Most hymns are songs about God. They're not songs to God. Now, while you're singing them, you might have expression in your heart, and it might cause you to worship from your heart, and that is all great and wonderful and good. You can hear someone preaching the word, and it's part of worship because it's focusing you on who God is. It's been a long time since I've been to a service where I heard a sermon where it just felt like that's, he wrote that sermon for me. There were some sermons I heard this last weekend at this conference that were, in fact, there was at one point where I was sitting in the front row at this one point. One of the leaders asked me to sit over in this one part. And my wife and I went over there and sat down, and this guy started talking. He came over. He would look at us he was kind of down in front. He was walking around. He was talking. And I almost, at one point, he was speaking, and I almost said, do you realize who you're talking to? Do you realize my situation? You're saying exactly, you're talking exactly to me. I almost interrupted him. It just almost came out of my mouth. I'm glad I didn't. But anyway, we have those kinds of messages are rare now. Don't happen very often. At least for in my life, I don't see them very often. But it's I miss that because I used to happen to me a lot. But we need that in America again. We need those kinds of meetings. Not this, here is a good feeling message of the day. You're all wonderful people. Be encouraged because you're so wonderful. God is smiling down on you. Not going to say anything controversial. Yeah, it's an interesting time that we live in with the church right now. So it's just kind of an interesting time. And I know that there are those out there that
I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Yeah. Pretty sure that she does. Folks, I want to thank you for I do need to get moving on. It was going to be a shorter show than this, and I've kind of played it out. I want to thank those of you who listen. And it's, again, whenever I put a new podcast out, I am, once again, shocked by the numbers are solid. And I appreciate that because it's like a base of people that just want to listen. They look forward to listening. They actually, maybe they just listen. Maybe they're laughing. Maybe it's the comedy hour for some of these people. Can you believe what this wacko's saying? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it's been a good, it's a good run with this show. I do appreciate the listeners that are out there. And once again, folks, have a great rest of your week. If I don't get to have another show, God bless. Take care.